If you would remain standing and open your Bibles to Psalm 133, and there we will read two psalms, although they are short. So, we come to a transition point in our study of being a pilgrim, being an exile. We are transitioning in this way. We've been in Esther, and we've been in Daniel, and we've been in Matthew, and we've been in Psalms, and now we're going to 1 Peter. That's where we will be next week. But this is, I think, a significant marker for us as a congregation to acknowledge that the Lord has brought us through so much, and this is the end. And what does that look like? What does the end look like when you finally come to church and you're finally with God? So with that in mind, Psalm 133, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. A song of ascents of David. Behold, look, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And then Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. The word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for help. Lord, thank you for this, your word. Lord, with it, do what you will in us. Shape us as pilgrims in this world. We pray and ask that you would do good things. Lord, our hearts are desperate this morning to know you, to be known by you. Would you help us? We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This is from a journalist writing about the winner of a contest that you may have heard of last week, the Masters tournament. He writes this, quote, "Call your sport endlessly satisfying is an unusual step when you've just secured your second green jacket." But that's what Scottie Scheffler did in his champions press conference. Scottie goes on to say this, he, quote, "I wish I could soak this in a little bit more. Maybe I will tonight when I get home." Clint sent me this article. You can blame Clint for the intro to this sermon. Maybe I will enjoy it tonight when I get home. But at the end of the day, I think that's what the human heart does. You always want more and more and more. And I think you have to fight those things and focus on what's good. He goes on to say this. I'm not going to stop there. Sorry to begin with this extended quote. By the way, I heard, I don't know this for sure, that he goes to a sister church in Texas, a PCA church. "I love winning," he says. "I hate losing. I really do. And I can resonate, and please let your heart resonate with what he says here." And when you're here, In the biggest moments when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies, listen to this is the point, and this is the connector to Psalm 133. My buddies told me this morning my victory was secure on the cross. His buddies told him. His community told him. People who knew him told him, listen, do you realize the pressure that these guys must be under to perform and be great? And there in that heated pressure cooker moment, his buddies said, it's not enough. The win that your heart is desiring is not going to be found in the Masters. It's going to be found in the cross of Christ, who came and lived his life and died and rose again for you. Listen, if you don't hear anything else, hear the commonality between my buddies said to me and the beginning of Psalm 133, where it says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. This is what we need. We need others around us telling us, reminding us of what's true. That's what he had in that moment. He had brothers reminding him of what's true. Psalm 133 and 134 are psalms of arrival. It is getting home. We are finally, we remember we were in Psalm 124, excuse me, then 120, and then 133 and 134. This is the end of the Psalm of Ascents. Excuse me. We're finally arriving. Our pilgrim has been on a journey, and he is home. And when he gets home, we see these images that are given to us for what it... This is what it looks like to finally get to church. Your soul has been longing so long to be home, and now you've made it. And then we're given these odd images. It's like you've been anticipating something for a long time. And then the text says, what you've been anticipating is like oil running down an old man's beard. That's supposed to be funny. We're supposed to laugh. It's like dew falling on a mountain. What is going on here? The psalmist is like, we have now arrived. And then we're given these two pictures, oil running down the beard of Aaron, and he gets descriptive. It's just like all in his beard, and it just like runs down on his collar. It's like going back here. It's gross. But it smells good. And then it's like dew falling on a mountain. What's going on? These are analogies for what it's like to arrive home. How would you describe the experience of being together with your closest friends and your closest family? And I'm not talking about those moments that are fraught with pain and indecision. And I'm not talking about the worst moments with family and friends. I'm talking about the best moments together with family or friends when you are just fellowshipping and loving it. What is that like? How would you describe it? That's what our psalmist is opening up for us. He's finally arrived. He is with church family. Another way that we could put it is, how good is church? Our hitchhiker, which we'll call him today, the Hitchhiker's Guide to Zion, he's finally made it. He's with God's people. He's at church. He's with his church family, and it's good to them. Behold, verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, being unified, good, pleasant. We're being taken home. That's what is going on. We finally arrive, and one of his descriptors is the word good. How good it is. It's the same word in Genesis that gets hammered again and again and again. When God would make one thing on day one, he would call it good, and another on day two, and he would call it good again and again and again. The psalmist is telling us this. Being together with brothers and sisters, dwelling together in unity, being a part of God's family is like creation itself. It's like these creational realities that we find in Genesis, Genesis 1. And finally, the woman is made, and the same word is used twice. Good, good. And we translate it very good. The psalmist is reflecting, I think, how good it is when we are together. And I think we can all, I hope, Grace, that we can all resonate with what he's saying. That it is good to be unified, finally home. These images aren't just theological axioms. They're not just truths that exist over there. They are about our emotional life. Things and feelings of being a child of God. What is that like for you? In his place and with his people. What are the emotions that come with this sense of rightness as God's child? To finally make it, to finally come to the best worship service that you could ever imagine. Then he gets crazy on us, and he says it's like oil flowing down an old man's beard. I mean, he sets up the question really well. How good, how pleasant it is to finally be home. And then he's like, well, it's like oil flowing down Aaron's beard. So we have to think about that. We have to wonder what in the world is this the psalmist talking about? Oil on clothes is not a good thing. Tim would probably grab them and put detergent on them and spray them down with stuff and run a toothbrush over them and then throw them in. I mean, you stain treat, but this is blessing. This is goodness. Notice how the psalm slows down. Verse 2, how great it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard. On the beard of Aaron, dripping down. It slows down and it says, look at this oil. Look at this blessing. Here's what I think we're meant to see. Aaron is the great high... He's not the great high, he's the high priest. He's saying unity is so good, it should point us to a priest. And we could say a lot about a priest. I mean, it's clear from this text, and it's clear from Deuteronomy and other texts that they wore beards. But they also wore It's very interesting. They wore jewels on their shoulders. You should go read about priestly garments. Look them up. They wore jewels on their shoulders. Why? Well, those jewels were for Israel. So if you think about the imagery that God was giving his people, the high priest would bear the weight of the people on their shoulders. Then they wore 12 stones on their chest, over their heart. And those 12 stones would have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written on them. The high priest, and here's what we're getting at. Here's what it is like to arrive home. It's like Christ, who bears our sin on his shoulders. It's like Jesus, our great high priest, Hebrews 4, who bears our names in his heart. The psalmist is thinking about this amazing picture. And it is strange. Oil flowing down an old man's beard is not, that's not the what I would come up with what I'm trying to preach about how great church is. You need a high priest. You need someone to bear the weight of you on their shoulders and have your name in their heart. It's Christ. The psalmist is saying, I get to the end and I get a glimpse of Jesus. I get to see him. From Genesis on, we read that this priest appeared out of nowhere, and he was the order of Melchizedek. Very odd. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, he didn't come from the line of Aaron. And this is long and drawn out, but his line, the line of Christ, his priestly heritage is greater than that of Abraham, greater than that of Aaron. He is a greater high priest. How good and pleasant it is to be with one another. Finally, we're home. We've made the ascent. Our psalmist has arrived. He's taken us through the dark valley. We read that in Psalm 120 last week. He's taken us all the way to goodness. All the way home. Psalm 45. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Do you hear the oil coming down? The Lord has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and acacia. How great is church? How good is it to be a part of a church? In just a little bit, we're going to have a business meeting, and we're going to hear about numbers and different activities going on in the body and people serving in different ways, and we're going to hear about building updates. How are those things? How good is it to be a part of a church? This is saying it's an incredible reality to have brothers and sisters around you. Jesus in Matthew 18, for there where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. There I am. How good is church? How good is it for you, child of God, to have brothers and sisters? One of the greatest things about this congregation, I feel like, is that we love one another. You stay behind after church. You talk. You chat. You ask others what's going on in your life. That is a blessing. How good and pleasant is the reality of the gospel working itself out in you in relationships with one another. And listen, if you're not sticking around after church, you're missing a blessing. Stick around. See what it's like. Somebody's going to come and talk to you and ask you what's going on, and it's going to be great. That's the blessing of being in the body of Christ here. How good is it that Megan Nethers has served our church for 10 years? It's a weird compliment, Megan, but it's like oil flowing down an old man's beard. Truly. Allowing us to love one another. It's good. Thank you. After worship is over and the benediction goes out, I pray that we will live in light of this psalm. That we will enjoy the presence of one another for about 5 minutes, and then we'll have a meeting. But that also is a demonstration of our love for one another. That also numbers and building projects, they're also an expression of our love for one another. So this psalm begins with goodness and righteousness and home and shalom. We all long for it, whether we realize we long for it or not. We long for things to be the way they are supposed to be. And that's what this psalm is telling us. This is goodness. If you're longing for something, here, what you're actually longing for is Jesus. Megan can be a powerful force, and has been for 10 years, to show us some of Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's your true home. Look to him with oil poured over his head and running down his beard and into his robe. You have trouble with your church family? You should probably ask yourself why. Do you have a tendency to dismiss the beauty of the gospel by neglecting to come to church? You should probably ask yourself why. You should come to church. You should be a part of the body. You should talk to others. That's what this psalm is getting at. It's beautiful, it's rich, it's satisfying. In a world that promises so much, this promises rightness. He arrives and he says, it's right. There's another weird thing here. I'm not going to talk about this as long. Suddenly he goes from oil to dew on a mountain. It's like the dew of Hermon. Scratching your head, it falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Everlasting life is like dew falling on a mountain. Hermon is the highest mountain in Israel in the far north above the Sea of Galilee. It's David here is talking about a mountain that's 120 miles from Jerusalem, Zion. So he's talking about the dew from this mountain that's 120 miles away to the north and east, falling on mountains in Jerusalem. And the only thing that I can gather is he's thinking about his life. He's thinking about some of the best moments of his life. He's thinking about that trip that he had where with his buddies, maybe with his family, he went to this mountain. And there he had the dew fall on him, and he smelled the smells of that place, and he loved it. And he said, "This is right. This is good. This is the way my life should be." And then he says, and then he takes all of that imagery of, and you can be invited in to consider, what is the greatest trip that you've ever had? What is the best air that you've ever smelled ever in your life? Imagine that being bottled up and here with you in the midst of the people of God, and you open it up and you smell it, or you feel the feelings of it. That's what he's saying the church family is like. It's like oil dripping down an old man's beard, and it's like the best air I've ever smelled. Is the church like that to you? What is the value of church? Last week we started with this phrase, "I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." And here we have oil, pleasantness, and gladness. Do you have friends at church? You should. Gladness, goodness, pleasantness. Are you weary of the rapidly changing culture? Do you get weary of the anger and abuse in our world? The psalmist points us to church. It points us to one another. It points us to the relationships that exist in this room. God will change you. God will recharge you. Another application I get out of this is that Derek Kidner pointed this out. It's incredible. Notice all the repetition of descent, running down the beard, running down the collar, falls from Mount Hermon, literally running down to descend, descend, descend. God's blessing, he says, is descending upon us. We can't bless ourselves with these things. We must be blessed by God with them. We can't manufacture this gladness. We can't manufacture this goodness. This blessing that we need must descend upon us. And then we turn to the last psalm really quick, Psalm 134. The blessing of unity is, Psalm 134 is like a goodbye. Think of some great moments that you have had with family. And think about the goodbye. What is that like? That's what we have here. Finally, the pilgrim has made it. The hitchhiker, our hitchhiker's guide to Zion, has made it. And he's started out in the far south, Meshech and Kedar. He's come to church. And now it's time to leave. I think that's what's going on in Psalm 134. It's time to leave. What do you do? try to remember to pack your toothbrush. You try not to leave things behind, but ultimately you have to say goodbye. Last week we talked about being homesick. That's what's going on in Psalm 120. Our pilgrim starts out homesick. Well, 134 is he's arrived at worship and now he's going back home. Yet he's had this incredible experience of worship. He's been with the people of God. What do you say? In our family, our in-laws are here this morning. It always involves an embrace, and they stand outside and wave, and it's usually in the middle of the night. The same with my family. When we leave, it's everyone hugs on the front porch, and then you load up in the car, and grandparents just stand there waving. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. That's what's going on in this psalm. Bless the Lord. That's what we're being given here. Blessing. Verses 1 and 2. This address goes out to the servants of the Lord, the priests who serve God in the temple day and night. This is what our hitchhiker is telling priests. The hitchhiker who's made it to Zion is leaving, and he says this: Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He's leaving at night. And his parting words are a shout. He is shouting, bless the Lord, all you priests doing your job at night in the temple, bless the Lord. This is his parting word. Have you had mountaintop Christian experiences? Maybe you've been to a Christian camp and you were just wowed. Maybe you've been to a conference that just blew you away. Maybe, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's been a worship service. Maybe it's whatever it is. Have you had those mountaintop experiences? How do you come down from that? I think sometimes it doesn't go well. Our hitchhiker has had a mountaintop experience and he is coming down and he is going back to his ordinary life. Well, he will be faced with his own mortality, his own sin, his own brokenness. He will be facing himself. He calls the servants of the Lord to bless the Lord. His parting thought is this, if I could summarize it: glorify God. Come and bless the Lord is Psalm 113, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Bless the Lord is what the psalmist is saying. You've had this great mountaintop experience and you're going back to real life. What's on your lips? For our psalmist, it's blessing. It's the glory of God. What is the chief end of man? Come on, Presbyterians, what is it? Thank you. Yeah, I hear your murmur. That's what he's saying. This is the end of the ascent psalms. Like we've climbed the mountain and he is shouting. I love that it says that it's at night. Because day and night, God is glorified in this temple. And there is not a moment in history that ever has been or ever will be where he will not be glorified at night. These are the night shift guys. Bless the Lord. Glorify the Lord. He will receive glory, child of God. He doesn't go away from the church downcast. He doesn't go away from church saying that he has nothing to enjoy. He goes away from the church blessing God. The pilgrim path can be long and winding, yet the psalmist is saying that it's all meant for the praise of God, the blessing of God that never ends. Then he mentions this, lift up your hands. Feel free, Presbyterians, to lift up your hands in worship and prayer. You are not out of bounds. And you're not out of bounds not to. Lift up your hands. Raised and open hands are a gesture of, I can't do it. I need you. I need someone else. Our hitchhiker wants to know, needs to know that he is not alone. He lifts his hands to receive from the Lord. Then we have the final wave of goodbye back from the temple servants. That's the way I see verses 1 and 2 and verse 3. And I'm not alone. Several commentators agree. So verses 1 and 2, our hitchhiker has made it and he's saying goodbye to... I think he's probably shouting goodbye to those in the temple. And then verse 3 is their blessing of him. They're saying goodbye back. We read this. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. It's a benediction. He says goodbye in the name of the Lord. He says blessing on his tongue, and then he is given a benediction. He is given blessing. What is coming from the temple of God? It's a blessing. May the Lord bless you. Truly astonishing. May the Lord bless you, not generally, but from Zion. Why that place? Things like that should, if you read slowly and carefully, should stick in your craw a little bit. Why did he say from Zion? All the way back at the Old Testament, from the time of David and this holy hill business, this is the place where heaven touches earth. This is the place where Jesus came into his Father's house. Jesus, the fount of all blessing, he came to earth. He came to the city. He came to Zion. He came to Jerusalem. He came and he lived and he was crucified and he rose from death. May the Lord bless you from Zion. Not from these other cities that he's mentioned along his pilgrim path. The Lord bless you, child of God, from Zion. Are you here? Not having heard or accepted blessing. It's like a river flowing down from Zion. John 7, Jesus says this, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's this blessing that's flowing out of Zion to us. It's flowing from Christ to us. Are you starved for blessing? The wave back to our pilgrim, to our hitchhiker who has wandered through to worship, the wave back from the priest is, there is a river flowing from Zion to you of blessing, and that river is Christ. This pilgrim walks away at night. He's going to have a chaotic journey back home, but he wants to hear. He needs to hear the benediction of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless us from Zion? Would you bless us in Christ? Would you shape us by your word, by your sacrament? Lord, we often don't feel that we have arrived home. We feel as pilgrims on the way, but thank you for giving us a glimpse of what it is to arrive and what it is to leave again. Would you shape us, Father, by all these things, we pray in Christ's name.